I guess I'll go ahead and jump in here. Hello, world. It is December 20th, 2020, a few days away from Christmas time. And it is me, Alan. I am back for a short while, at least. None of us know how long we'll be here, how long we'll be able to do what we're doing. I guess I kind of got fed up with things, I guess you could say. It affects all of us different ways, different levels, different levels of understanding, different experiences. One writer I've read some, we all lead separate realities. We all have different experiences, different parts of the world, different parts of the country, different people around us. It can be a challenge. Some of us, you know, enjoy that constant struggle for some reason. Others, you know, just kind of want to have a peaceful life every now and then. I've had some weird things this past week. Just a little personal asides here. It's like, you know, I've got a pet deer. I've had her for 8 years. You know, this past week I lost a couple of my great big chickens. I got like 25-pound chickens and these big leghorns. And so they were out there, and I've been losing chickens since I started getting chickens again. But there's one of them I staked out here so I could hopefully get whatever to come up and got it. And I have got a couple of coons off his carcass. I tied a string to its leg so it couldn't just be disappeared on me. And it's kind of disturbing. I've been sitting here watching my pet deer. You know, everyone thinks that there's this cute little Bambi and they just run around and eat grass and stuff like that and leaves and whatever. Man, it's kind of disturbing when you see three or four deer out here fighting like grizzlies over a moose carcass and just watch them snacking on a chicken. It's kind of gives you a different perspective on the world. You know, I've been in nature my whole life. Don't ever think I've seen a deer eat a chicken before. But, you know, that's life. You know, we all have our different perspectives and definitely see different things in life. But that one's kind of disturbed me. You know, not that I blame my deer. It's, you know, been dry out here, and I guess they're hungry. I supplement them. But anyhow, that's just one little aside. Like I said, very strange, very strange. Been hunting my whole life, never seen a deer eat a chicken. But anyway, as we get on here, I kind of thought I might open up once again and read it a little bit slower. Just something to help us realize kind of the power structure. I keep hearing people talking about, you know, it's the commies are coming, you know, or it's the Muslims, or, you know, the Chinese, or, you know, Chinese communists, well, you know, whatever. There's truth to that, and then there's also a deeper truth. You know, there are different levels of truth, you know. One truth is, you know, you can see an article, you know, the one I use is, you know, man saves baby from tar pit, you know, yay! You know, the baby lived. He's not going to die in a tar pit. You know, if you read the end of the article, it's like, you know, unfortunately, it's like that baby's now like in a cage hanging in a market in Bangkok, Thailand, you know, being sold into sex slavery or something. You know, there are different levels. And, you know, there's the comfortable truth. There's the uncomfortable truth. Some people like to stop. They find that comfortable truth, and they just stop there. You know, it's, nope, that's it. I know everything. Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind's made up. You know, they've stopped. They've found a comfortable truth, and it's, you can't say that they don't know the truth. They just haven't delved deeper into it to find out what might be uncomfortable. I'll read this little passage here. There's a couple of little paragraphs from a book. Once again, by Senator Barry Goldwater, who ran for president back in the 70s. And I can even remember this. I can remember him being, you know, jided and made fun of in the press back then. I don't remember a whole lot of it. I was pretty young then. Not really you know, politically savvy or anything, but I can just kind of remember him being kind of drug over the coals. But, you know, I don't agree with everything he said. You know, I don't believe everything that he believes here. You know, it tells about his life. This is a book called With No Apologies. You know, the personal and political memoirs of United States Senator Barry M. Goldwater. And for the most part of the book, he talks about, you know, his life, how he got, who he is, where he grew up, how he got to where he is, et cetera, et cetera. And then towards the back, he gets to this little section, chapter called The Non-Elected Rulers. And I could read the whole, I have read the whole thing over and over, and which I tend to do with most of the books I have, all except for a few of them that are kind of weird, like Morals and Dogma is real hard to read the first time. But anyhow, let's read a couple of paragraphs here. I believe the Council on Foreign Relations and its ancillary elitist groups are indifferent to communism. Okay? And once again, this book was written in 1979. So, most of us that are in this movement who've been here for a while, remember up until just, 10 years ago or so, if you said Council on Foreign Relations, you were looked at like, you might as well have been talking about, Martians coming down and dancing on the head of a pin or something. But this was way back when. It's not even when they started, but, it wasn't ever talked about or known about that much. Anyway, Council on Foreign Relations and its ancillary elitist groups are indifferent to communism. They have no ideological anchors. In the pursuit of a new world order, once again a phrase that didn't come into view until just recently mostly, in the pursuit of a new world order, they are prepared to deal without prejudice with a communist state, a socialist state, a democratic state, monarchy, oligarchy, it's all the same to them. I will add a Zionocracy. Basically, he's saying that these people, that they have no morals. They're not anchored in anything that most of us would consider, a good moral society, doing good for your, trying to help your neighbor. Basically saying that they're self-centered SOBs. They've got a lust and a love for dominance and dominating. And most of us don't have that mindset. At least I sure, if you're going to hear me use the word, pray. Prayer without action, is kind of pointless. But, I pray that most of the people out there have the tendencies like I have, feelings like I have. It's hard to understand how these people think, how they... We don't wake up every morning, just wondering, how can I get ahead at all costs? Even if they're ahead, how can I get more ahead? How can I get more power? How can I get more control? I've never made a good manager. I never really liked telling people what to do, the movie Idiocracy comes to mind. Lead, follow, or get out of the way, I never really wanted to do either one of them. I just kind of wanted to be me. I never wanted anyone telling me what to do, really. Never wanted to just follow. Never really just wanted to get out of the way, just to live my life, just be who I am. Try to make the best of it. Not have to struggle, rape, pillage, any of that. Just a little strife in life is good. It does, to a point it creates character. At a certain point it becomes real, real old, and it can get... It can start dragging you down real hard. Anyway, going on with the book here. Rear Admiral Chester Ward, United States Navy retired, who was a member of the CFR for 16 years, has written, "The most powerful clique in the most elitist groups have one objective in common. They want to bring about the surrender of the sovereignty and the national independence of the United States." Okay. Their goal is to impose a benign stability on the quarreling family of nations through merger and consolidation. They see the elimination of national boundaries, suppression of racial and ethnic loyalties, as the most expeditious avenue to world peace. Anything in that sentence, this little passage paragraph so far, sound vaguely reminiscent of what's going on today? Racial and ethnic loyalties, suppression, suppressing those? Getting, Black Lives Matter, kill Whitey, keeping us apart, separated, instead of expounding on, the similarities we might have and, what we might want for our lives. they expound on our differences. You know, they pit us against each other. You know, this is Sun Tzu's basic concept of divide and conquer. Anyway, on with this program. The rationale rests exclusively on materialism. They believe economic competition is the root cause of international tension. This approach dismisses as insignificant the form of government or the political ideology expressed by that form. Once again, this is a guy who was deep into the, 16 years in the Council on Foreign Relations, probably kind of like Smedley Butler when he, got into the military, thought he was, doing good. Thought they were in it, to try to improve the world, do better things. Who can say, 16 years, think he could have figured it out a little bit quicker than that. But, it's a life of lies that we've been fed. I've been watching and rewatching some movies. I don't have a huge selection. But one of them is it's kind of pertinent today is a movie called Wag the Dog. It's got several real interesting and poignant little phases in it. Willie Nelson, they're one of them comes to mind, an old shoe. They're talking about old shoe. The guy who was left behind. The man from the 303. Sound kind of familiar. See, what was that unit that went over to Germany and saved our voting procedures? And still haven't heard anything else about that, have we? That was Unit 305. Not the same, but kind of close. Kind of playing with their minds. Another one where they make up the old song, And he said, yeah, can we make that sound kind of scratchy? Yeah. And I want this put into the Library of Congress. Put it back in the 1930s in the folk music section, And then they have someone go in and discover it. They discovered this old song, from the 30s. Good old shoe, Putting in our face once again how they control, how they manipulate, how they twist and warp the history that we're able to read about that we didn't experience. I remember very vividly Sandy Berger, when he was caught, BVDs in his DVDs, docs in his socks. What did he do for the Clintons? What history did he change? Did he add good things to it? Did he just take out the bad things that were in history, in the National Archives? Is that, once again, putting it in our face, the movie? Because it's pretty apt. I don't know if they were making fun of, the Clintons. I can't remember when that movie was made. But, once again, telling us basically that, when we're gone, what the Clintons have done, it'll be history that won't be history anymore. Those of us, I lived through Arkansas. I can remember back before, everything was consolidated. There was still a small independence in newspapers, especially you get out into smaller towns. And things would happen. You would hear about them a little bit more. It wasn't just all, every newspaper didn't carry the exact same story. It was varied. That's, they competed to, get, headlines that were different. They'd get an exclusive. That would make people want to, buy their paper more, listen to their station more. I started noticing, ABC, CBS, NBC, everything that that you watched. I'd flip from one to the other, on the evening news or something. They'd all be started, got to where they were all talking about the same story. Nothing independent. And I'm like, that's weird. That's about the time I kind of started figuring out. It's like, well, something's wrong here. I didn't really know exactly what was going on. And I guess you could call today's show its basic concept is just the mind control that we've all been subjected to. Even those in the upper levels, subjected to mind control. Basically the whole thing is a Delphi technique. There are different levels of it. The higher levels, it's a little more sophisticated, a little more, I guess you could call it a cult. You know, they keep knowledge hidden even from each other, you know, and screw with each other's minds, just a different level. I guess it's much easier to do, or maybe it's not. You know, when they get down to our level, you know, there's a lot more of us. Our fads, our fashion fads, you know, everything is developed by them. You know, they put out what's popular, what's not. You know, I still can never kind of really figure out, you know, double knit polyester suits in the 70s and everything. Bell bottoms, a little freaky, kind of comfortable at times, but, you know, not real practical. Double knit polyester suits, man, big wide lapels on the shirts. Boy, that was just some freaky looking stuff. I never thought that stuff was comfortable anyway. Parents bought me a suit and it was lime green. I had to wear it. Boy, I hated that suit. But just the weird things that are developed and put out to us, and the way that they play with our minds. You know, this election is another thing. You know, either way, they end up winning. You know, if the courts do decide that all of a sudden they're going to become our savior and they're going to let Trump back in, and he comes in, well, you know, we all know then that just all total freaking hell is going to break loose, you know, from Black Lives Matter and Antifa, or if they've been merged or if they were ever separate, you know, basically kind of crisis actors, you know, being paid for parts, but then they sweep up a lot of the unsuspecting public along with it that, you know, may have had strife in their life. You know, it's, you know, I've never been rich, I've never been elite, I've never been privileged, and so I've struggled my whole life, and it's all Whitey's fault, or it's all the black man's fault. He's killing everyone. You know, and those societies have all been developed. You know, I've said many times, y'all probably heard me, I've said many times, man, I wish I could admire what these SOBs have done, are doing, and unfortunately probably will continue to do to a certain extent. A lot more of us are becoming aware, but I just don't know. Is it enough? You know, I had kind of a hard day. I've got a small touch of the, I'm not going to call it the corona flu, but maybe the Cuervo flu. I had a little incident. One of my cousins I've known for 38 years, actually drove down from Arkansas when she was born. They were living in Dallas at that time, my cousin. And she came out here. They're living out there in California. And, I guess a couple of them like it. Her sisters moved out there, and when she came back, I saw her, walked up to her, gave her, excuse me, started to give her a big hug, and she goes, she kind of backed it off a little bit. She goes, I just, you know, flew here in a plane. You know, she realized it's nothing but, you know, a flying Petri dish. And I said, give me a hug, you know. Gave her a hug. You know, her husband's, you know, drove out. You know, she's got her daughters with her. You know, they're not afraid of me at all. You know, maybe she actually listened to her brother, my young cousin, who I just love to death. You know, when all this started, he came out, and he's very smart guy. He said, well, Alan, have you realized that you were social distancing before it was even trendy? You know, I just loved it. You know, maybe they listened to him. You know, it's like, I'm probably one of the last people who'll get it, because I'm kind of sick of people. I kind of keep as isolated out here as I can. You know, even that's tough. But, you know, every now and then, you know, it does get kind of lonely. I've got my little dog here with me. But, you know, humans, I know that, you know, I've been talking with Lark, you know, human, you know, that used to just be an adjective. Now, you know, they've turned it into a noun. People, as you listen to Clint Richardson and all these guys, and we'll talk a little bit more about this after the break here. Hope I'm not sounding too strung out here, but just talking with you all again. It's been a while. Talk to you after the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Republic of Texas Radio, with my personal twist on it, of course. You know, it's I kind of find it hard to talk about one subject. You know, y'all have known me, y'all have listened to me for five years or so. I was on radio, you know, every Sunday. You know how kind of how my mind works. I see the world as a ball of yarn. You know, that's you know, you've heard me say, you know, I see strings lead to nodes, and from that node, other strings lead off, and you know, or I explained to Steve, it's like, you know, have you ever taken a golf ball apart? You know, there's that rubber band inside there, at least the old golf balls. I don't know what they're like now, but you take that skin off, and there's that big, long, it's just one long rubber band wound around. And if you can get it loose and get it going, man, it'll sit there and just start dancing and zinging around as the rubber band, and, you know, untensions around it, and eventually it'll stop. And then you try to get it started again, and eventually you'll break, you know, one or two, you know, little pieces of it. And then strings just start going everywhere, and pretty soon you just got a big mass of twisted spaghetti. That's kind of how I see especially in the digital age where they've got, you know, computers that can do quadrillion, you know, operations a second or more. Very easy for them. They love data. Doesn't matter how insignificant. Everything is interconnected. But getting back to my experience here, my cousin who I've known for 38 years, you know, actually, oddly, she was born on 9/11. Went down there yesterday, and first time I'd seen her, started walking down the hall to her to give her a hug or say hi to her, and she had her mask on. She started backing away from me with, like, panic in her eyes, like I was a freaking leper. I had big sores and cankers and everything all over me. I just looked at her. I threw my hands up in the air, and I said, screw it, and I walked out of the house, got in my truck, and drove off, you know. It's, man, what they've done to us. what they've done to people. When I'm in a store and I see someone not wearing a mask, I went to Walmart the other day for the first time since this whole crap started. Went to Walmart. I saw three people in the whole store. There was 300-400 people in the store. I don't know. It wasn't, you know, the heaviest I'd ever seen. It wasn't the least people I'd ever seen in the store. Found three people that weren't wearing masks. Two of them were a woman and her daughter. I stopped and I talked with them all. You know, thank you for not wearing a mask. Been doing this ever since the start. You know, I go to get gas, you know, little lady behind the counter. You're a Fredericksburger, right? You were born here? Yeah, yeah. I said, do you not just find this? You know, what's happened to our town? You know, oh, it's crazy. It's nuts, you know. You know, when the COVID started, it was kind of nice going into town again. You know, when the cell phone service, I brought that up. You know, when it went down, you know, y'all probably couldn't do a lot of your business. She said, no, I had people lined up here trying to, you know, get gas with their credit cards, and nothing would work because the cell system was down. Everything runs on the cell system. You know, little experiences, but, man, just my cousin who's known for 38 years, of course, she does live out in California. You know, her husband is a hospital administrator. And, boy, you talk about a guy who doesn't want to talk to me at this point in time. He's not out here. I don't know if he's coming out or not, but a guy that doesn't like to talk to me at all because, you know, my background, you know, I did different things, pre-med, zoology, you know, whatever you want to call my degree. I've had as much schooling as doctors did. I didn't go into the indoctrination center of the medical school. Didn't really want to after I saw the people that I was surrounded with in my zoology classes. Went for environmental research, started helping professors do research in that. Found out that data that I'd collected, you know, didn't come out on the final report the way it was collected because, well, we've got to keep our grant funders happy. You know, if we piss them off, you know, the university's not going to have money coming in. You know, there's no grant. It's like, I'll be useless. So, basically they're telling me, it's like, you know, I have to sell my soul, you know, and lie and cheat to make money. So I went into embryology, developmental biology, you know, cell molecular biology. You know, I played with the high-power optical scopes. I played with the, you know, transmission electron microscopes, the scanning electron microscopes, you know, all that good stuff. You know, it's, very tedious getting your specimens because they, you know, those things are expensive to run and expensive to, you know, just to have. You know, the university had them. And, you know, and then I found out that, well, basically that's been corrupted too, you know. So, man, all that time I spent, you know, I paid my own way through college. You know, I did not go into debt when I could. I would, you know, get enough money saved up. I'd, you know, take my classes, you know, the zoology class or 8-hour, you know, the 4-hour classes, most of them, you know, because they would have a lab with them. So, you know, if I signed up for two classes, I was, you know, that was considered a full load. And after that, you know, classes don't cost you anything. So I'd take money and banking, principles of investment, you know, all these other classes, you know, in business, you know. So I've got a really weird background. I guess I call myself an overeducated. Unfortunately, I almost wish I wasn't. Very well informed, redneck hippie. You know, I just kind of I bartended when I was going to school. I enjoyed life. Don't have a lot to show for it. I do have, you know, a bunch of good memories, and I've got a bunch of situations that I probably wish I could remember, but they got kind of lost in the fuzz, you know. I had fun. I experimented. I played. Never got too hooked on anything. You know, done my psychedelics. Did a lot of drinking. Knew a lot of people. John and Don Tyson. You know, knew both those guys. But I know it's kind of twisted and dysfunctional here, jumping all over the place, but that's just me. Got the bottom of the hour here, and I will continue for a while on the other side, and if I can talk for an hour, you know, I'll open the phones up. If not, you know, I might talk a little bit longer. We'll just see how it goes. Haven't heard from y'all, but I'll be back after the bottom of the hour here. Thanks for listening, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Back, folks. This is Republic of Texas Radio. Steve, Steve took the day off today. He's taking a break. You know, he's actually, you know, got a wife, and they're, you know, out, you know, visiting family. You know, in preparation, you know, for the holidays and everything. You know, hope he gets away, and hope he can, you know, relax and have a good time. You know, it's he's, like I said, everyone leads a separate reality. I was talking a little bit about, you know, my education, you know, who I am, where I came from, kind of, you know, my experiences in life, you know, and how I got to where I am, you know. Like I said, you know, we all lead, you know. Carlos Castaneda, you know, I know it's not Christian and all that stuff, you know. I mean, Christian to me has become kind of a really kind of twisted word, you know. The principles I love, you know, it's great, you know, to live your life by those principles. But, you know, It amazes me when people you know, say that if you're not a Christian, I don't want anything to do with you. If you don't call yourself a Christian, let me reemphasize this. You know, I could call myself a Christian, and I could be one of these evil bastards. You know, a lot of them are. You know, they you know, supposedly, you know, go to a church and everything, and it's like, man, do you see them living and treating people by Christian principles? They call themselves a Christian, and people accept it because they go and they plop their ass in a pew, you know, 1 hour a week, you know, and the rest of the 6 days and 23 hours out of the week, you know, they're raping and pillaging and extracting everything they possibly can for their own benefit and gain, you know, damn the torpedoes, you know, full speed ahead, you know, just for their own, you know, lust for power, greed, corruption. It's power. You know, like I said, most of us, I'm sure if you ever, once again, use the word hope, prayer, whatever, that most of the people at their base are good. They don't wake up every morning thinking like these people do. They've been subjected to, have to rape and pillage. They expect to be lied to and cheated. So when they lie and cheat to people every day, they really don't feel that bad about it because it's just become an acceptable part of surviving and getting ahead in today's world. It's just not the kind of world I really want to be in, you know. Every time I've got to go into town, I find little bright spots. You know, I'm not all just all negative. But for the vast majority of it, you know, man, what's around us, they're not like what used to be there. You know, integrity, man, that's flown out the window a long time ago. You know, it's, in integrity, you know, that's honesty, loyalty, you know, truthfulness, you know, friendship. You know, unfortunately, I find that in what we call dog. You know, was whoever wrote the Bible dyslexic? And every time they said dog, they meant, you know, every time they said God, they meant dog? I don't know, you know. There's good and bad. I mean, there are bad dogs out there. I had to put one of them down. I still have nightmares about that. Dog couldn't have cared if I was there or not. Was just schizoid, just crazy. I was running around out here chasing cattle, assault attack a calf one time, you know, tried to give it away, you know, didn't want to put it in a pound because I brought him, I raised him, and I knew that, you know, this dog would be real hard for anyone to accept and adopt. You know, I finally, you know, had to put him down myself. That's just kind of part of country life. You have to do things that are not real pretty sometimes because it's all survival. Manipulation of your environment, you know, if it's deer snacking on chickens, man, that one still disturbs me. But, I know I'm kind of disjointed, jumping all over the place, but staying on the basic concept of the mind control we're under, you know, and how good these people are at it. They've been doing this a long time, folks. You know, this is nothing new. I watched a movie the other night called Gung Ho. This was apparently started like 2 months after Pearl Harbor. You know, I think it was put out in early 43 or something like that, 1943. You know, it's a movie about, you know, the Marines, you know, and their first, you know, elite super killer, you know, group. We're going to go out there and kill Japs for mommy, you know. In the early part of this movie, when they're getting this unit together, the announcer, he comes on and he says, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but it's basically this. He comes out and he says, well, we're going to be killing Japs for our democracy, freedom, and unity. Everyone gets so upset now, you know, when someone uses the word democracy, you know, describing our country. Man, they've been doing this and twisting this into our lexicon for a long time. Like I said, these people are good. Most of us, we've been, you know, basically kind of trained, like well-trained monkeys. You know, hard to say it. I heard Jordan Maxwell one time, you know, I kind of wish I could get him on. A lot of people I wish I could get on and talk to. That's one of the bad things about not having a computer and being able to email and talk to all these people and get in touch with them and say, hey, man, would you like to come on? I'd love to talk to you for like a month, but we only got a couple hours, you know. Jordan Maxwell, one of them, whether you believe with all the stuff, he's been doing this since before I was born, trying to tell people about the power structure and what the hell's going on. Smedley Butler. I mean, stood on the floor of Congress and said, yeah, they wanted me to be involved in the military portion of the coup, of the takeover of this country, you know. I studied military. I lived next to an air base, went to the library all the time, checked out every military book we could, read. I've read, you know, Life and Death of Adolf Hitler, you know, Hitler and Stalin, Parallel Lives. I actually looked through, flipped through, you know, man, it was so dry and boring, there's no way in hell I could have read all of it, you know, of the... One of my girlfriend's father was a press in literature, had the Churchill diaries, you know, just dry, boring, you know, crap that, you know, was not the truth. You know, he didn't talk about how he almost, you know, lost the war for him single-handedly, you know, all the devious crap that, you know, Churchill was, you know, not a good person, you know, and maybe had some good quotes, you know, we will fight them here, we will fight them there, you know, in his drunken stupor, but he was one of the elite. You know, anyone else, you know, they would have been drummed out of the core of it. You know, he became freaking Prime Minister of England, of United Kingdom. You know, it's the elite, once again, it's a big club and we're not in it. George Carlin was great. They killed him for it, you know. when you go off script, bad things happen. That's why this whole political thing, you know, if you notice, it's like when something comes out, it's like, oh, well, they're all going to go to jail, you know, and I'm sorry, but, you know, Trump, you know, he was elected because, you know, Hillary for prison, you know, blah, blah, blah. When I get elected, you're going down. The morning after he got elected, the first words out of his mouth were, well, they're really good people, and they've been through enough, and I'm not going to recommend charges be brought against them. Bada boom, bada bing. Yep. Yeah, these are not the droids you're looking for. Move along now. You know, did he have good tendencies when he first came in? Maybe, maybe not. He's been around a long time. You know, I grew up in Arkansas. You'd hear about, you know, when he'd come into town, you know, into the state periodically. You know, him and the Clintons were good buddies, kind of like, you know, George Bush and Bill Clinton, George H.W., you know. Man, you know, they were best buddies, you know, after Billy Bob was, you know, not president no more. Every time you saw George H.W., you saw Billy Bob with him, didn't you? Just the best buddies, but the deadliest enemies, right? Strange. Like I said, don't believe what you see. Don't confuse me with the facts my mind's made up. That's what they've got us doing, you know. But I was explaining a little bit about who I am, my background, why from the very first that I heard about this damn corona crap, this COVID, you know, it's BS. You know, is there something out there? Is there a flu? Well, yeah, there might be. It might even be a new strain of it. I can't say for certain, you know. And independent researchers, you know, have a real hard time finding it out, too, because, you know, I was talking about the research that I was involved in, seeing how it was twisted and turned to keep the grant funders happy. So research, 99% of it, a complete sham. It comes out to be what whoever's funding that research wants it to be, because if it doesn't come out that way, then, well, your lab's closed down, or you don't get funding, or your university doesn't get funding anymore, and that professor that did it, you know, pissed off the wrong people, and that professor ain't a professor no more, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's all the big club, and you know, you might think you're getting into it, but only those really at the top, you know, are part of that big club. I wish George Carlin was still around. I wish my dad was still around. I think he knew a bunch of this stuff, which is why he just dropped all contact by the time that we got old enough to start actually, you know, realizing and seeing things and correlating, you know, events and putting them together. He just kind of, the only people he could relate with were, you know, his buddies down at the American Legion. You know, because my dad was a 32nd degree Mason, and he taught classes in cryptology. Was good at it, apparently, you know, breaking codes. I can tell you that he's been dead for quite a while now. You know, he told me a few things when we both came in drunk one night, him from the American Legion and me from a club across the border over in Oklahoma. You know, told me a few things that I still haven't heard come out publicly, so I'm not going to even mention what they might be. But, yeah, I think my dad knew a lot. You know, he was over, you know, during Vietnam. He was over in Korea and Turkey and various places. You know, every base he worked at was a spook base, you know. So I understand about some of this stuff. You know, I wish he was around because I would hope that he would answer my questions. I don't know. Once again, I hate using that word hope, but, you know, it's all we can use at times. Because hope tends to incapacitate you most of the time, you know. If you hope, you know, it's all going to get better, you hope this, you hope that, well, most of the time that leads to, you know, passivity, inactivity, doing nothing, you know, not even talking to your neighbors, you know, for fear of, you know, of being ostracized, a feeling that I know very well. Yeah, I think a lot of us know this. Like I said, I'm called a few other, you know, guys' shows and did my rant. That's why I figured I was just going to get on here and talk today, you know, and try to talk a little more slowly because I do have a little more time. Just try to tell you what I see is going on with the world. Am I 100%? Well, no, but, you know, I'm 95% of, I've got notebooks around here that I'll sit and I'll just start thinking about something. I'll grab a notebook and I'll write down. And I've started titling these little articles, What I'm a Wondering. You know? And it could be anything from electrogravitics to what's really at the center of the planet. You know, is the sun actually hot, or is it just when those rays interact with our particular atmosphere that it creates the feeling of heat? You know, everything is not as it's been presented to us. They try to tell us that, oh, the science is set. Well, no. That's once again bastardizing the word, you know. Science means always questing, never taking anything as an ultimate. You know, there's always, you know, there's that's what scientific investigation's about, you know. If it's all done, it's like, well, why aren't all the universities, you know, closed down, all these, you know, think tanks, all this stuff? Nope, that's it. We know everything. No use to have y'all anymore. You know, move along now. No. Science is always questing. You know, it's just size. If you want to talk quantum mechanics, you know, what we measure, you know, as a meter or a yard, you know, when you get down to these subatomic levels, very, very down to angstroms and even what's below that, you know, things don't work the exact same. Simply because you can measure it to an angstrom does not mean that the physical attributes that we would, you know, correlate to something that measures a yard, you know, they don't work the same. The forces are different. Everything interacts differently. There is spin polarization. There's torsion physics. There are shear forces. There is, you know, a connection between electricity, gravity, and magnetism. Whenever two of them are present, the third one's always hanging around back in the background somewhere. But they just don't want us knowing that because, you know, we should be flying around little James Bond or Dick Tracy, you know, anti-gravity chariots. You know, like you remember the Dick Tracy cartoons. You know, well, we've got, you know, pretty much the, you know, the little wrist TV radio thingies, you know, that we can talk to each other, you know, on your wrist. But they haven't given us the electrogravitics yet, the flying chariots, where we don't have to start an engine up. You just kind of step onto a platform and think that it's like, yep, take me to Africa, and boop, you're in Africa. You know, who knows? Stargates? I can't say they're not real. You know, sounds very fantastical. No, because of what we've been taught as reality. Reality that we've been taught and presented with is, in most cases, completely different. Maybe not 180 degrees, you know, maybe off on a tangent somewhere, you know. You know, it's endless possibilities. Endless possibilities. Science is always questioning, always questing, always looking for what they say can't be, you know, I don't, just the control methods, you know, religion being one of them. I'm talking about, you know, I don't call myself a Christian because, you know, there's a little church here in town, you know, that by, you know, some coincidence, my great-great-grandfather was the first Lutheran minister at. You know, the guy that is there now, well, for the last 4 years, I think this year, I guess it was a virtual, but they have held the World Leadership Council or Conference. I can't remember exactly what word they used. The World Leadership Council here has met in Fredericksburg here. And you think, oh, well, that's good. It's all the religion. No, this is like you know, the Lutherans and the Baptists and the Episcopals and the Catholics and the Buddhists and the Muslims and all these religions coming together, you know, doing a kumbaya dance and maybe doing nasty things with little boys like you see in the South Park. I won't even go into that. I hate to even think what might be going on. But they've held a World Leadership Council. This is the big push for creating a one-world religion. Yet this guy is the minister. I asked my mom, you know, I said, what do you think your great-grandfather would think about what's going on inside the halls of this church now? She said, oh, he would be livid, more than likely. More than likely, he would be spitting fire and brimstone, you know, about what's going on. I think they've even, was it the World Ecumenical Council that's also been held here? You know, Fredericksburg, you know, you heard Steve, I think last week, you know, they said, well, you know, it's only, you know, it's a population of 10, 12,000 people, something like that. But, you know, Fredericksburg, unfortunately, is not just a, you know, a pimple on the butt of what's going on. You know, we're more like a boil. You know, there's, for one thing, our little town, they did a study, you know, of all the cities in Texas. Fredericksburg, most expensive place to live in the state of Texas. Texas is a big place, you know, it's bigger than a lot of freaking countries. You know, our little burg here is the most expensive place to live in the state of Texas. They did another survey. We have more millionaires per capita than any place in the United States except for Washington, D.C. You know? Now, that's not saying more millionaires per capita. For the amount of people that live here, there are more people that have moved in here and bought up all these beautiful family ranches and high-fenced them and got their McMansions sitting up there on them, and they fly in their jet planes and their turbo props, and there's helicopters, personal helicopters buzzing all over the place around here. Yeah, not the quaint little community I wanted to move back to and kind of live in peace. If I wanted to move to frickin' Austin, I would have done it, you know, and lived in the middle of the nut house. Unfortunately, the nut house is expanding out. Hard to get away from anything anymore. I don't know if there's really anywhere that's peaceful that you can go and just try to get away from it. You know, not just become disinvolved and just not try to do anything about it, but just try to live your life in a little more peace. You know, I got tired of the rat race. Like I said, I ran around. I knew people, you know, who rode in limos with Bill Clinton, you know, high-powered attorneys, you know, and everything. I'd go out on the weekends, you know, in their boats on Beaver Lake fishing with them, you know, because I was, you know, pretty much apolitical at that time. But we'd sit and we'd have a few beers, you know, at night, you know, out there, and words get flowing. You know, I've never really talked about it, which I guess is, you know, I guess kind of the bartender's, you know, motto. You know, you hear a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff that people don't think you hear. Never really talked about it because I was pretty much apolitical, kind of a going along in yaya land that had been created. But, you know, always had a brain, always questioned, always, I remember a lot of these things. You know, Bill Clinton, yeah, he does inhale. It does tell me that. Yeah, there's no question on that pretty much. I can't prove it. I'm not going to give out names because some of these guys might still actually be around. I wouldn't want to get them in trouble. Pretty good guys, you know, at least on the level I was dealing with them. But you don't know the society that we've created. I've got another thing here. I've got a few notes I jotted down on one of my notebooks here and just trying to stay with them. The condition of the world and what we're up against as far as the people around us. Once again, listen to Clint Richardson. You know, like I said yesterday, he was on Deanna's show. Man, that guy just—he knows what's going on. He sees it, you know. I cook for myself and everything. You know, I make bread. I can do all that stuff. And you know, I've been buying some bags of flour and actually started looking at them. You know, and I noticed something really strange. You know, flour's been around with us for a long time, wouldn't you say? You know, several thousand years, you know, it's been pretty much a basic food staple. You know, now on a bag of flour, they've got a warning. Do not eat until fully cooked. Don't just dip in and have a taste of it. You know, make sure you cook it fully first. And I'm like, have we really devolved to that point? I brought up Jordan Maxwell earlier. He's just sitting there talking, I think, with Jeff Rentz or something. He said, you know, they try to tell us that, you know, we're evolved from monkeys. He said, if you take a really good, truthful, honest look at the world around you, the way I see it, we're evolving into monkeys. You know, excuse me, don't have a cough button, but, and I do have a little bit of the Cuervo flu. But, I mean, just simplicity, but take an honest look around you. I mean, the mask wearers just blithely going along. Like I said, those that will just wear the mask for convenience or so they won't feel odd and, you know, their peers won't look at them wrong. And this, I've said from the very start, this COVID thing is complete crap. I watch it rolled out worldwide. This is not just going on in our country. It's not just to get rid of the white race. This is going on all over the country. I saw a report where the World Bank had, you know, everyone said, well, how are they funding all this? Well, I saw the World Bank had given $12 billion to help developing and underdeveloped countries produce and receive the COVID vaccine. Okay? This ain't just happening here. You know, we are the central battleground. You know, if they get rid of us, you know, they built us up to be this powerhouse and, you know, independent thinkers and everything, and now they're devolving us into monkeys, or evolving us back into monkeys, if you want to look at it that way. Yeah, we might be the linchpin, but it's a linchpin once again. You know, if you're big enough, you can pretty much pop that linchpin out of place and disconnect whatever you want to disconnect. Man, I wish I could admire what they've done. You know, they throw the stuff at us. I was talking about the election. You know, if Trump does get back in, like I said, all hell will break loose. If he doesn't get back in, if Biden and the camel are there, you know, man, they've achieved their goal either way. You know what that does? Even with all the evidence, we all know, you know, people are just now coming to the realization that, you know, the elections are rigged. Man, I was listening to like 2008 or something like that, listening to Bev Harris. You know, she was running around chasing a couple of guys named Butch and Hoppy that were going around to all these election places collecting the ballot boxes, you know, and she was trying to keep chain of evidence, you know, because she knew what was going on, black box voting, you know, it's her thing, you know, and, stealing, hacking democracy, you know, it was her little film she put out. You know, man, this has been going on for a long time. It's just become so in our face now. You know, it creates what is called learned helplessness. You know, it's so obvious, yet the power structure does nothing to correct it. You know, it creates learned helplessness. You know, it's a Skinner box. You know, you put a cat in a wire cage. You know, then you electrify the floor and the sides of the cage, you know, with a mild electrical, you know, current, and there's a shelf a little bit up above off the floor, you know. Well, the cat doesn't like that electric going through him, so he jumps up on the shelf. He's like, ah, man, safety, you know. And they will have some stimulus, you know, when the light goes on, you know, the cage is electrified, the cat jumps up on the shelf, you know, ah, safety. You know, when the light goes out, the cage bottom is safe again, you know. Well, then they start, you know, when the light comes on, the cage is electrified, cat jumps up on the shelf. Well, it's got a mild current on it. It's like, well, that doesn't feel good either. So it jumps back down to the floor of the cage. Well, that feels even worse. Jumps back up on the shelf. Well, you know, does this a few times. It's like, man, finally it figures out. It's like, well, this shock I can handle. You know, it's my new normal. Top of the hour, folks. I'll continue this little cat in a cage thing, and then we'll start taking calls on the second hour here. Hang on.
Instead they gave with all that they had to give. Made sure that their brothers and sisters were clothed and fed. Praise the Mother Earth and the Father Sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.